You're listening to Radio MD. She's a chiropractic holistic physician, best-selling author, international speaker, entrepreneur, and talk show host. She's Dr. Suzanne Bennett. It's time now for Wellness for Life Radio. Here's Dr. Suzanne.
In my book, Mighty Mito, I go into detail about how mitochondrial health was key to my recovery from a severe traumatic brain and neck injury I incurred 7 years ago. Now, although I had 90% of my symptoms relieved, but the neck pain and the stiffness still lingers today. Earlier this summer, I spoke to one of my good friends, Dr. Tammy Moralgia, who's the owner of the Seattle Stem Cell Center, one of the ones that's part of the U.S. clinical trials for stem cell therapy. And I wanted to know if stem cell therapy was correct for me. Would it really help my neck pain, my chronic arthritis and stiffness? And she absolutely said yes. But you know what? I was still on the fence, still trying to decide, do I really want to try this therapy? Until a month ago, when I was lucky enough to receive a breakthrough book from our guests today, Drs. Robin Smith and Max Gomez. They're global thought leaders in regenerative medicine. And what they are saying is that definitely through their best-selling book, Cells Are the New Cure, they believe that there is promising treatments using living human cells to dramatically impact your health, disease, and the aging process. Welcome, Dr. Smith and Dr. Gomez. So excited to have you here on Wellness for Life.
Thanks for having me.
Happy to be here.
Absolutely. You know what? Are stem cells really the future of medicine?
Absolutely. Well, we absolutely believe they are the cells of our immune system. We're learning how to take those cells, harness them, and deliver them back to areas that need that extra help in repairing tissue.
Well, okay, let's ask Dr. Gomez here. Dr. Gomez, what are stem cells? So that the layman terms, please, because our audience, although they know a lot of good stuff, sometimes stem cells, you know, science can be a little bit more difficult.
Yeah. Well, there are a couple of kinds of stem cells. Most people think of stem cells as embryonic stem cells, cells that come from the clump of cells that are still an embryo. And for many years, we thought that was the only place that stem cells, you could really get stem cells, and they existed. And that, of course, led to moral and ethical issues, because generally, in order to use embryonic stem cells, you have to destroy an embryo. So that was a problem. Then maybe, a decade or 15 years ago, now it's been a little while we started to find and realize, there were a couple of researchers who came up with this, that we actually maintain what we call adult stem cells even after we're born. So that we found adult stem cells in virtually every tissue in the body that we look for. These are stem cells in fat, in brain, in muscle, in heart, in blood vessels. As I said, even fat actually has a lot of stem cells. And what stem cells are the way that the body regenerates itself, basically. These are cells that maintain the capability to form new tissue, essentially. And that's why they're so important. But it turns out they're important for everything from regeneration of tissues to rejuvenation, perhaps, to even strengthening and keeping our immune system strong and protecting us from cancer, even. So stem cells are kind of nature's little regenerative and repair mechanisms.
Well, I think, you know, we all need some of this stem cell juice, you know. Dr. Smith, what made you think about we need a book on this new cure?
You know, technology is emerging so quickly, and it's impacting so many different, diseases. People need hope to know that it's not 10, 20 years away, that there really are therapies that are going to make a dramatic difference in their lives. And so we're, you know, helping people to understand it in, as you said, layman's terms, but in an interesting way through eyes of patients and some of the researchers. And, you know, what Max said was so critical is that, you know, from sort of 15 years ago, we're really starting to learn about all the cells of our immune system and that there are many places to have, you know, to get these stem cells. But yet we've been using stem cells for almost 40 years for a bone marrow transplant. So it's not new, but people don't even know that. They don't really understand. So it's the future of medicine, and we believe it's going to have a dramatic impact on how medicine is going to be delivered. And we wanted to be able to share this with everyone and get people excited about the future.
You know,
and Dr. Suzanne, if I can add one little quick thing there, is that when it comes to I've been covering health and medical issues for 37 plus years. And when I talk to researchers really around the country these days, what I say, and they echo it, is that more has happened in medical research and medical advances in the last 5 years than in the previous 30. It's just happening so fast and continues to accelerate. So it's such an exciting time because this is happening. As Robin said, it's not way off in the future. This is already happening right now, and it's going to continue to happen and get even better in the very near future.
Well, I know for a fact that being in this, I've known, in sports medicine, they use a lot of our stem cells to regenerate tissues in a different way. It's like there's different forms of it's called PRP and different techniques where you can literally inject your own blood parts into the tissue, right? But what we're talking about stem cells, you and I, when it comes to the clinical trials and all that, it's really going into those cells that can do multi-purposeful different areas, whether it's for organs, the brain, creating more immune factors, even for immune therapy for cancers. I really want to go into in detail about your book, and I'll tell you why, because this book, when I first got it, thanks again for sending me this book, way ahead, in fact, so that I can take a look and see. And I learned so much from this book, because the way it's actually written, not just written, but the way it's organized, there's so many amazing photos, color. It's not a regular book, right? You guys, it was just an encyclopedia to me on stem cells. Not only does
the illustrations where I thought were really important, because we wanted people, these days, a lot of these concepts are not very familiar to people. So the idea was to use the illustrations to help people understand what these cells are, what they're doing, and so forth. So that was really a big part of what we wanted to get accomplished here and get across to people.
Right. That's exactly what I saw. And the first chapter was about arthritis. And like I said in the earlier intro, it was my neck pain and my stiffness that, sparked me to ask about stem cell therapy. And each chapter actually is, it has a title on the pages. So you can flip through the pages and you know exactly where you're at. And it's an awesome mm-hmm. book. Awesome book. But what I'd like to know, let's start with the neck pain and stiffness. In the research that you did to write this book, Dr. Smith, what did you find that is it going to help the arthritis? Can it actually reverse arthritis?
Yeah, well, so, it's interesting. I guess a couple things that you're asking. So, there's a lot of different clinical trials looking at which stem cells can be used and how you put them back in, whether it's for disc disease, whether it's arthritis, to affect your immune system. You talked a little bit about immunotherapy. So I think it's not just the stem cells, right? But there's lots of cells of your immune system, and people are looking to use those cells to affect different diseases. And Max, maybe you want to get into specifics of what those are.
Yeah, when we say arthritis, there's a couple of things. There's osteoarthritis and there's rheumatoid arthritis, right? The osteoarthritis is kind of the wear and tear arthritis, where you've overused your knees, your hips, and so forth, and you've kind of worn the parts out, or you've had some trauma, which it sounds like what you had in your neck. You've had some trauma that damages the tissues there, usually the cartilage lining the joints, in your case, in the vertebrae in the neck. And so you end up, as that cartilage then sort of deteriorates, that's where you get kind of bone on bone, or you get, the joints just aren't nice and smooth and sliding over each other anymore. And that's osteoarthritis. And one area where the stem cells, and this is a big area of research right now, it's kind of the holy grail for a lot of orthopedists, is figuring out how to use stem cells to regenerate that cartilage. And the places where it's most likely to be used first is going to be in the knees and hips, because those are Those are the most common areas, especially as baby boomers get older and older and they start wearing out their parts. That's what leads to hip replacements and knee replacements. Haven't quite gotten there yet. There's been some kind of mixed, results in terms of regenerating cartilage there, but that's going to come. That's going to come. The other area is rheumatoid arthritis, which is a much more serious disease because it's an autoimmune disease that destroys the joints bit by bit. And that is another area where not using stem cells per se, but using a way to rebalance the immune system. So in rheumatoid arthritis, you have what's called autoimmunity, which means your own immune system is attacking your joints in this case. But it also, you know, there's autoimmune diseases for type 1 diabetes, where your immune system is attacking the beta cells that make insulin in your pancreas, for example. So that's one area where there are some really exciting things where if we can rebalance the immune system, and probably in type 1 diabetes is where it's going to happen even before we get to rheumatoid arthritis, we can rebalance the immune system to get the immune system to say, hey, cut it out. You don't need to be attacking the joints, or you don't need to be attacking the insulin-producing cells. Come on back and just relax. Leave those alone and just pay attention to what you're supposed to be doing, which is going after germs, viruses, bacteria, maybe even cancer cells. So that's where I think you're going to see some of these cellular therapies have their first effect. So it's not really stem cells per se. It's kind of using your own T cells, which are the white blood cells that are part of the autoimmune response, and getting them to kind of pay attention and go back to the status or the state that they're supposed to be in, not attacking yourself, but attacking just germs.
So what I'm hearing is that not only the stem cells help rejuvenate injured tissue, inflamed tissue, but you're saying also that stem cells will help manage and reboot your own immune system and put it in a position where it tells the immunity exactly what it needs to do to heal. So, I mean, do the researchers really, obviously right now the science is going towards that direction, but are the researchers saying that that's exactly the pattern of stem cells affect our own immune cells, our white blood cells, and our immune cells what to do?
Well, there are a couple of ways there. One of the ways that we get the immune system to sort of rebalance and stop autoimmunity is we get these T cells, which are not stem cells. These are your own white blood cells. They take them from the body. One approach is they take them out and let them sort of interact with stem cells so that the stem cells kind of re-educate, if you will, the white blood, your own white blood cells, the T cells. And then when they're re-educated, you put them back into the body and they then know what to do and they turn off the autoimmune disease. So it's sort of an indirect use of stem cells. It's a different kind of cellular therapy. And then, Robin, do you want to tell them about Jeff Bluestone and those guys are using a different approach?
Thank you, please.
Yeah, so, you know, Caladrius, which is a company that's been working on this, they're doing a phase 2 trial where they're enrolling over 100 children who are new onset diabetes. So it's kids that they're getting diabetes because of destruction of the pancreas. And so you take their T cells, you expand them out, and put them back into the patient to rebalance, to get them so that they have more of the regulatory cells as opposed to the ones that destroy the pancreas. And so
that's an exciting field.
It is very exciting.
That is super exciting, because what you're saying is that, you know, we may even be able to prevent type 1 diabetes.
There's MS, lupus, right? I mean, there's so many autoimmune disorders. Over 30 million Americans have autoimmune diseases.
Right. There's about 80 to maybe even 100 different types that we're not even, you know, there's so many. I did a little research on it, and there's so many autoimmune that we're not even aware of, you know. So that's super exciting, which means then I'm wondering, you know, maybe it's not just for autoimmunity. For individuals who are immune deficient, will we be able to also take out our blood, mix it in with stem cells? And is it with your own stem cells that the study is showing?
The one trial that I was talking about in type 1 diabetes, where you re-educate your white blood cells, in that case, they don't have to be your own stem cells. They use, I believe those come from placenta or umbilical cord blood stem cells. They're sort of, in a way, they're kind of generic stem cells. And they don't, they just interact, they talk to each other. But when you put the cells back into the patient, they are their own T cells that are going back into the diabetic without the stem cells. The stem cells were just the teachers, if you will, that re-educated the patient's own white blood cells and said, you know, wake up, knock it off, and then they put them back in. So it's in this case, they're not the patient's own stem cells. They don't need to be, because you're not putting them back in.
That's exciting too, because, you know, as we age, our stem cells are weaker. That's what I understand, you know, is that
exactly.
We have weaker cells as we get, and if we're diseased, I would think that it's even weaker too. So that's super exciting. Thanks for sharing that. You know what? You know, one of the things that I talked about earlier is that there's a lot of different types of conditions that you talk about in your book, Cells Are the New Cure. But I'm also, since I just turned 55, I'm also very interested in the slowing the aging process. So let's talk a little bit about that. Stem cell therapy, can that do that too?
Yeah, absolutely. Robin, you know what, some of those with some of the stem cell stuff?
Yeah, I mean, as you started to allude to with education, right, we're starting to learn that younger cells, those stem cells, when you put them next to stem cells of an older person, you can actually re-educate them and make them do things that are reparative in younger. So there's a lot of work that's being done there, a lot of work to say that, you know, from almost not just a longevity, but almost sort of living better, right? So healthier and restoring the tissue and you know, the function, that there's a lot. So there's a lot of clinical trial work and work using stem cells from different sources and different ways of administering them to affect aging.
Yeah, what's interesting is that the old stem cells kind of send out a signal to the young stem cells when you mix them together and say, you know, hey, it's kind of an SOS, help me out. You know, I'm not as virile as I used to be. And it turns out the young stem cells send back some kind of chemical signals, cytokines, meaning, you know, some sort of cellular hormone that rejuvenates these old stem cells, and they start to look and act and behave like the young stem cells. So now if you put those old guys back in, they now can regenerate and rejuvenate everything from, like you said, the immune system, which would help prevent cancer and help you know, prevent some of the infections of old age. They kind of regenerate everything. So it's not just about living longer. It's not increasing lifespan. It's increasing health span. And that's what some of these younger stem cells or rejuvenated stem cells hopefully would be able to do.
And we're learning how to keep those cells healthier too, right? So that's an important part. So to keep your cells able to repair.
Now, we're talking about down to the DNA level, aren't we? The enhancement of the cells, enhancement of the functionality of the cells. Aren't we going down to really the genetics?
Yeah, I mean, that's really where all the action is. I mean, where what we're talking about in the end is that's reactivating some of the genes that may have been shut down over the years, or it's reactivating some of the genes that the cells thought they didn't need. So yeah, all of this basically gets down to that genetic level. That's really where the action is for all of us.
Right. I'm wondering if there's any research that shows that the telomeres, those little ends of our DNA, if they get extended, which then may actually, you know, indicate that it's true longevity.
That research is actually sort of is interesting, because there's some disagreement about that. The telomeres are like the little plastic caps on the ends of shoelaces that keeps the shoelaces from fraying. So telomeres kind of keep the chromosomes from fraying as through multiple cell divisions, right? As a cell divides, these little caps on the ends prevent the ends of the chromosomes from getting essentially frayed. And the more that a cell, the more often that a cell divides, these telomeres get a little bit shorter and shorter until they're really not all that effective. And then the cell either becomes dormant or actually dies off. So the idea is that you've got an enzyme called telomerase that rebuilds these telomeres, makes them longer, and keeps the cell healthier because the cells can keep dividing. But when you talk to the aging researchers, they say, you know, the problem is if you have telomeres that are too long and the cell can keep dividing and dividing and dividing, that puts you at greater risk for cancer because the cell might actually divide out of control. So the trick is to find the Goldilocks length of the telomeres, not too long and not too short. And kind of nobody knows exactly what that is. So you don't want them real, real short, but you also don't want them too long, because that puts you at greater risk for cancer.
That's such a great point. Well, then let's talk a little bit about that, because you mentioned about cancer. You know, in your book, you talk a little bit about immunotherapy and how it can stimulate our own cells to be able to attack the cancer cells. But how about what you just said? You know, can it create more of a rogue cell, prolific cell, that it can stimulate? Can stem cells stimulate cancer growth?
Barbara, do you want to tell them about the dark side of embryonic cells there?
Well, yeah. I think there's a couple things. So, the embryonic stem cells go down all lineages of tissue types, so they can go rogue, and you can get what, you know, was scary in medical school, a hairy, teethy tumor, right? Mm-hmm. So it's, you get that kind of, and obviously cancer. So you can get them, it's hard to educate them to only become one thing, you know. But, additionally, I think when you look at, there is a cancer-causing stem cell, right? So there are stem cells. And I think that's sometimes why when people get chemotherapy, their cancer comes back. They don't stay into remission. So you have to be careful on the cell type. And that's one of the benefits, I think, of using adult stem cells, is they're already committed down lineages of what they're going to become. You don't have to worry, you know, that they'll become sort of rogue and become cancerous.
When I was talking to my friend earlier this summer, and she really recommended for me to come to her place, Seattle Stem Cell Center, to do the procedures. You know, the truth of the matter is, this is not easy on the pocketbook. It really isn't the type of therapy that I was thinking about that she implemented in her practice. And I'm just hoping that more and more, more and more centers do this, that it's not going to be as expensive. Have you found that to be true too? That the it's not that expensive. It's not that affordable. It's not an affordable therapy yet.
Yeah, I mean, I think that as things become standard of care, they always become more cost efficient, more cost effective. And I think that when we start seeing more results from clinical trials, it'll be reimbursed by insurance companies, because it really will be a therapy that will improve outcomes, and overall cost will go down. Because think about it, if you are not in pain, you're not taking some of the pain medicines, there's other costs around healthcare that will be alleviated, you know, with these kinds of therapies that aren't focusing on symptoms, but that are actually are cures.
And billions and billions of dollars in the medical, how much it costs to take care of our bodies. And we're not getting, I mean, yes, I know that we got a lot of diseases and conditions, but I think our lifespan is getting longer, obviously, because we've got a lot more geriatric people in our country. But personally, I would love to live over 100, but not with, dealing with surgeries and all these drugs. So minimizing healthcare costs would be so much better. And that's what it sounds to me that the stem cells will be able to do, is to really extend our lives, possibly even past 100.
Stem cells
and the other cells of our immune system,
keep
us healthy for that period of time. That's the important part.
Right. Exactly, Dr. Gomez.
And Robin's point is really important there, is that while, say, the cost of a stem cell therapy might be and probably will be high initially if you take the big picture, which is, but it may avoid, say, surgeries. It may avoid problems with taking medications and chronic diseases and so forth. So if you take it as a big picture thing, it may not be as expensive as it sounds. And also the analogy that I often use is that these costs will come down because if you think about it, anti-lock brakes were developed for Formula One race cars. These are million-dollar race cars. And now anti-lock brakes are on every Hyundai and every Kia, and you don't even pay extra for them. So the cost of these things, you know, will go down. They're not necessarily going to be, they're not going to become cheap because these things are still a lot more difficult to make. Cells are a lot, you know, these are living things. You have to kind of take care of them a lot differently than a bottle full of pills. But nevertheless, the cost, I expect will go down significantly.
Well, well said. Thank you so much. Gosh, I can talk to you guys so much, much longer, but it's time for us to go. Again, Dr. Robin, Dr. Gomez, excellent, excellent interview. The book is called The Cells Are the New Cure. Cells Are the New Cure. It's out on the stands. You can get it online. Thank you so much. Until next time, go out there and live your best life today, full of energy, enthusiasm, and ultimate health and wellness. This is Dr. Suzanne sharing natural strategies on the Wellness for Life show right here on Radio MD. Stay well.